Here is a song I wasn't sure if we had in our library or not, and goodness gracious, we do. This goes back quite a way. Hang on, that's not the one I'm looking for. I could tell as soon as I hit it, but I do have the right sound or the right song. There it is. This is the song I was looking for, the oh-so-appropriate song.
There's a new sound, the newest sound around, the strangest sound that you have ever heard. Not like a wild boar or a jungle lion's roar. It isn't like the cry of any bird. But there's a new sound, it's deep down in the ground, and everyone who listens to it squirms. Because this new sound, so deep down in the ground, is the sound that's made by worms. There's a new sound, the newest sound around, the strangest sound that you have ever heard. That like a wild boar or a jungle lion's roar, it isn't like the cry of any bird. But there's a new sound, it's deep down in the ground, and everyone who listens to it squirms. Because it's new sound, so deep down in the ground, is the sound that's made by worms. There's a new sound around, the strangest sound that you have ever heard. Not like a wild boar or a jungle lion's roar, it isn't like the cry of any bird. But there's a new sound, it's deep down in the ground, and everyone who listens to it squirms. Because it's new sound, so deep down in the ground is the sound that's made by worms.
Ick. Sound of worms.
The newest sound around.
The water skipper.
The sound that you have ever heard.
From Jim and Crafton Heights.
The lion's roar, it isn't like the cry of any bird. But there's a new sound, it's deep down in the ground, and everyone who listens to it squirms. Because it's new sound, so deep down in the ground is the sound that's made by worms. There's a new sound, the newest sound around, the strange.
There is a lot of repetition in today's music.
Or a jungle lion's roar, it isn't like the cry of any bird. But there's a new sound, it's deep under the ground, and everyone who listens to it squirms. Because it's new sound, so deep under the ground is the sound that's made by worms.
On the horrible record label, Tony Borello, the name of the artist, and I'm looking to see if we have the date or not, and hang on, I'm looking. We don't, but I would imagine that came out in the 50s or so. In fact, 1953. I just found it. Thank you, Wikipedia, for the assist. And what a lot of fun we had coming up with animals, starting with the letter W. Mick adds Wookiee as another. Well, coming up, we have a story from the WQED Write On, the Writers Contest, celebrating kids who write on. This story is called My Future, and it's from first grader Sophia. We also have Prime Stage Theater cast members from The Amazing Lemonade Girl in our next hour, and the Pittsburgh Concert Society Young Artist Competition winner with selections on harp. In our 11 o'clock hour today, I hope you'll be here for Old Time Music with the Snap and Bug String Band, featuring Mark Tamsula, Richard Withers, and Dave Christie. It's all coming up as we march through a Saturday morning together, broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square, along with Ricky Berger. This is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start. the Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings at WRCT Pittsburgh, WIUP FM Indiana, WMCO New Concord, Ohio, KRDP Apache Junction, WCUC FM Clarion, WSAJ FM Grove City, WNJR Washington, and internet radio stations and streaming services everywhere, including slbradio.org/radio.
Sophia, I am 7 years old. I live in Pittsburgh. The name of my story is My Future. My name is Sophia, but most people call me Sophie or Soph. People know me for my cat ear headbands, loving animals, especially cats, and always being kind. Right now, I'm in first grade and love to take care of my two cats, Pom Pom and Pumpkin. But in my future, I'm going to be a zookeeper and the second female, that means girl, mayor of Pittsburgh. My mom told me the first female mayor of Pittsburgh's name was Sophie too, which is how I got the idea. When I'm mayor, I'm going to make Pittsburgh famous for something new. We can still be famous for sports and steel and bridges and ketchup, but I'm going to say we be most famous for kindness. We will be kind to the earth by not littering and recycling. We will be kind to animals by making sure all pets have food and homes. We will be kind to each other by sharing and working together. If we all work together, Pittsburgh will be the kindest city in the world, and that's how I want my future to be.
Thank you. That was Sophia. What a nice story she just put together. She is in first grade and is another WQED Writers Contest honoree. Good morning to Dick and Butler, who added some additional animals, including wren, wallaby, worm, warbler, and walrus. We appreciate your being here and being part of SLB as always. And good morning to Paul King, who is in Delaware this morning. Thank you for tuning in. Wait for Odetta to come in on this song. I think you'll be amazed at her voice. Along with Ramblin' Jack Elliott and David Amram.
give me a home where the buffalo roam, where the deer, the antelope play. Well, seldom is a herd of discouraging word. Skies are not cloudy all day. Discouraging word, skies are not cloudy all day.
Isn't that a nice arrangement of Home on the Range from an album called At Home Around the World? It's time for an hour that we devote to youth expression every week. And today, it's really fun. Prime Stage is here, and there's new program Prime Stage has started called Prime Stage Sprouts and the Amazing Lemonade Girl, which is a story inspired by the life of Alexandra Flynn Scott, is going to be staged at the New Hazlett Center for Performing Arts coming up. And we'll talk a bit about that in the moments that come. The performances will be June 16th through the 19th. First, let's have you meet everybody in the room. And I am going to kind of work from left to right, if that's okay. And Cameron, we'll start with you. If you could just give us your name, tell me a little bit about yourself.
Sure. Hello, my name is Cameron Tino. I am an 11th grader at Lincoln Park Performing Arts Charter School, and I'm a child actor, and I love to do this, and I'm so glad to be here. So thank you for having me on your show.
It's a pleasure. What community do you live in?
I live in Mars, Pine Richland, around there.
Excellent. And Lincoln Park has probably been a great place for you, I would imagine. It gives you a chance to be alongside other students who are really active in creative arts.
Yeah.
What is a typical day like at Lincoln Park?
It's very crazy, actually. I have four blocks, which are divided into two academic and two arts-based. So it's like a second home. I spend most of my time there, and it's so like refreshing to be around people who just want to create and love to do what they do. And we all have this sort of kinship with each other, and we all kind of like mesh and make different projects. And it's such an incredible environment where you can just be free to express yourself creatively or emotionally in any way that you can. So it's really cool.
How long have you been part of Lincoln Park?
Since seventh grade, since the beginning. So it's been a wild ride.
That's terrific. Let's meet who is on your right. Hello.
Hi, I'm Kayla, and I go to Shadyside Academy. I'm a 10th grader, and I've been acting for a while now, and I used to go to Pittsburgh CLO Academy, so I'm really happy to be here, and thank you so much for having me.
What got you interested in acting? Do you remember?
Ooh, that's a hard question. I think it started out as just some weird summer camp that my parents decided to put me in, and eventually I started, you know, getting into it. I found that I really liked doing it, so I kept going.
What grade are you in?
I'm a sophomore in 10th grade.
It's nice to meet you, and let's see who's next.
Hi, I'm Raina. I am 9th grade. I go to PALC Cyber School.
That's PA Leadership?
No.
Or no, tell me the name again.
PALC Cyber School.
Okay, so P-A...
L-C-K.
P-A.
P-A-L-C-S, sorry.
P-A-L-C-S. I got it. And what community do you live in?
I live in Natrona Heights.
I should have asked that same question of you, too. Where are you from?
Right now, I'm generally in Fox Chapel area.
And thank you. Tell me about your interest in acting, where it came from.
Well, when I was in sixth grade, the middle school by my house, my friends go to it, and they were like, it was Seussical Junior, and they were like, oh, you should try out for it. So I tried out for it, and I fell in love with it.
Well, that's great. What was your part?
I played Cat in the Hat.
Oh, that has to be a great deal of fun. And I meant to ask Cameron that same question. When did you know that you liked acting and performing?
I think I am lucky enough to have found acting at a very early age. I think it was 5 when I went to go see The Lion King, and I was hooked. It really is like a bug that you catch, and the more I do it, the more I fall in love with it, and I just want to devote all my time to it. So it's been crazy, and I got into a community theater called Jeter Backyard Theater, and then I trained at the CLO. And then I found my way to Lincoln Park. So it's really just been chasing that dream for most of my life.
Now, the reason you're hearing these three voices is they are all part of a production, which is called The Amazing Lemonade Girl. But before we talk more about that production, we're going to meet Wayne Brinda, who is the founder and executive director of Prime Stage. Congratulations. It's been... Is it 25 years?
25 years. Yeah, this is our 25th season. Yeah.
Just amazing that it's been that long. And tell me, you must reflect on it a little bit, how you've endured over all this time.
Yeah,
I mean, the world's changed a lot in 25 years.
It has. And it's like, but theater is still important, and the arts are still important, and I think probably even more now than they've ever been before. I think it's because it brings people back together again, and it gives people some inspiration. And we just closed a production of Arsenic and Old Lace, and it was wonderful to hear audiences laugh, you know. Mm. And that's part of what we want to do, not just laugh, but get them to inspire. And that's really where this Amazing Lemonade Girl comes from. It's a show that it's a one-hour performance. But it's fun, it's funny, it's very inspirational. I mean, it's the life of Alex Scott, and talking. We're also working with the Childhood Cancer Initiative of the American Cancer Society. So there's some very inspirational moments in here. There's moments that you can take away from, and there's moments you can laugh. The ensemble is great, and the idea, you know, we look at, we've been doing adult theater for 25 years, you know, and as a former director of Playhouse Junior, I miss what theater can do for children. And it's like, it's time to do that. It's time to really get those audiences back to the theater and get them to a point where they can come to a play that is designed specifically for them. And that's why we're starting Prime Stage Sprouts.
Who can tell me a bit about the story? The plot of The Amazing Lemonade Girl without spoiling it too much. What's it about?
Okay, I'll go. it's about Alex. She's an 8-year-old girl born with, not born with, but diagnosed with neuroblastoma, a rare cancer disease. And throughout the story, she wants to, like, go over the wall and play with a few of, like, the 5 other members in the cast. And before she can do that, she has to tell her story. So she has to talk about everything that she's accomplished in her life with the help of the 5 members of the ensemble cast.
And it's based on a true story.
Yes.
of woman Alex, and I understand, did you all have a chance to speak with her or meet with her?
Yeah, we met with the her mother.
Wow, that had to be amazing to hear from her mother. What did you learn, and what was that experience like?
It was a crazy experience. I think it was very, very, very helpful to know and hear the story from her perspective. And, I mean, I don't know. I'm still starstruck about it. I think it's crazy. It definitely helped me connect more to Alex's character.
Yeah, that would just be... I can't think of just a larger-than-life kind of experience, I would think. Did you learn more about Alexandra through talking to her mom? Did you find out more insights about her life?
Yes. Yeah. I think we all gained a lot more knowledge because even performing this, I still have to remind myself that it's a truth story. Someone actually created this incredible charity foundation that is helping so many people still to this day. So to talk to Liz Scott and to hear, you know, what she wanted to share and how she was impacted by the play and giving us a lot of key points that we could incorporate into the play because it's still being worked around and we're still trying to incorporate all the elements that we can to respect the story and to also inspire audiences in the best way possible. And I think Liz really helped all of us find our characters and our truths in the story and what each character's motivation or job was to do in order to bring the story to life.
And I think one of the important things that came out of the conversation was we asked her, how did Alex come up with the idea of doing the lemonade stand? Right? Because she was 4 years old, I think 3 or 4 years old when she came up with that idea. And it's like she didn't really remember, but the whole point is it wasn't for Alex, it was for others. You know, and even when she would be going to do these, meeting these incredible people like Oprah Winfrey and other things, it was like, not about me, it's about helping others. And her Lemonade Foundation has just been raised millions of dollars, millions of dollars. And coming from this little girl, this 4, 5, 6, 7-year-old girl that had cancer but wanted to help others, it's an amazing story.
Her name, Alex Scott. And we do have a scene that you're going to hear now, a monologue. And do we need to set this up a little bit as to context?
Raina, why don't you set that up a little bit, okay?
Okay, so basically, this is the very beginning of the play, and she walks in and she hears the ensemble members playing behind the wall, and they're just having a fun time, and she hears about them. So she goes over to them, and then she asks, and then they don't answer. But while she's asking, she turns around, and then she sees the audience, and then she starts interacting with them. So that's what this monologue is about. Hi, my name is Alex. I'm 8 years old, and I'm sick. I just thought I'd get that out there right away. Oh, yeah, and this? For my hair. It's from the drugs I take. There's not much there. I feel really good right now, though. I still can't run too fast or anything, but I can get around pretty well. Slow and steady, you know? Anyway, there's more to me than just that. I'm Alexandra Scott, not the sickness that I've got. I like soccer, I like french fries, and we have my dog called Shammy. I like playing spider solitaire, and I really love my family. Favorite colors, blue and purple. Favorite cartoon, Scooby-Doo. Favorite animal, a penguin. And, well, really, I'm just like you.
Beautifully done, and what a great way for it to start. And by the way, that was Raina Aiken, who plays Alex, and we also have ensemble members Cameron Tino and Kayla Chu with us today. Is it hard to play that role because there has to be so much emotion as the play moves on, I would think?
I definitely think it's a challenge just because she's so inspirational and she plays a huge part just in the world. Like, she impacted so many kids, and she's helped so many kids that I think it's definitely a challenge making sure that I can portray that correctly. I think it's definitely amazing.
And Cameron and Kayla, I'm curious about the roles that you play. It sounds like you're sort of utility players isn't quite the right word, but do you have multiple functions in the play? Multiple roles? Tell me a little bit about what happens with you two.
Yeah, so I'm one of the ensemble members, and so I play Alex's mom, and in a different scene I play like an interviewer, and I think in the rest I'm just a general character that's like the motherly figure, basically, and kind of like the parent. And so we have all those different characters that I have to distinguish and make sure that they're different, but make sure that they have similar energies, because in the play they do, because they play very similar roles in Alex's life, in her telling of her story, and in her journey to get past the wall. So, yeah, that's what I...
And what about you, Cameron?
I play mainly the doctor, which is kind of the bearer of the bad news, but also represents many of the doctors. Like when I was researching John Maris in Philadelphia, who discovered a new treatment for Alex that did help her. And it's really, really awesome how and brilliant how the script is like functioning, because we are technically kids on a playground telling Alex's story, yet we do flow in and out of so many characters while still having our own personality that we do let through into our different characters. So it's really fun and challenging to bounce around. Especially with a doctor, because there were times of great seriousness and there were times of great fun. And finding that balance can be tricky at times, but it will be rewarding in the end.
I'll come back to the three of you in just a moment, but I want to go to Wayne. Mm-hmm. Once again, the play opens June 16th. It runs through the 19th. Details at primestage.com. Anything else you want to mention about the production or about Primestage?
Yeah, I think the other thing that we're doing with this, and we've been doing it all season, but something that's important for this, because it's available and it's accessible for all families, but we're also encouraging families that maybe have a child with childhood cancer and they're looking for something, for some entertainment or for looking for inspiration. This is a great opportunity for this. And we're also having our patrons donate lemonade cancer care kits for families. So when you come to the play, you can actually put a donation for that, that we can supply that and make those available to people locally. But I think it's going to be a really fun thing, and it's nice to bring children's theater back to Pittsburgh, you know?
Absolutely. Now I want to turn to the three of you for another second. First, is there anything any of you wanted to say that you haven't had a chance to say that I didn't ask you about or that you meant to say? Mm-hmm. I didn't think so. I just wanted to double check. Secondly, I'm curious, there are some people that question the value of arts in general in curriculum. And what argument would you offer to help persuade people of the importance of the arts? I'm not trying to challenge you, but I suspect you've already thought about this. Anybody want to go first in terms of reasons why the arts are not just to you, but important to be available to everybody?
Sure. For me personally, after experiencing both an arts education and a non-arts education, I found more emotionally, more academically, just in all kinds of ways, the arts have benefited me as a person and a human being. I think by teaching the arts and by viewing the arts and having it in your life, you have a better sense of the world around you and a better understanding. I think that arts can help you. It's offering a different perspective on a lot of things going on in the world, and it essentially holds a mirror up to a reality that you might be used to, and you can then take that and heal from it or learn from it. So it gives us a sort of connection because it's a crazy concept, the fact that 300 strangers who don't know each other can go into a room and suspend their belief long enough to live in a story. And I think it's so beautiful that people are able to do that, especially in a time where a lot of people are isolated and a lot of people cannot come together in more than one way. But arts have the power to overlook all of that and kind of create a community where all are welcome and all can, you know, go through an experience together.
That's Cameron. Tino, Kayla, anything that you would add? Kayla, Ju?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with everything Cameron said. It's super important. I think it's especially important for kids to have that opportunity in the first place because it gives them a creative outlet that they otherwise might not have. Like, some kids like to do arts and crafts and others just like to do acting and performing, and that can be a huge part of someone who's younger because they find what they want to do or what they like to do. And yeah, having that emotional connection to it, just being able to either express or connect to your emotions more through theater, through acting, and through things like that. Yeah.
Finally, let's go to Raina Aiken. Why arts matter?
Oh, personally, I think it helps so much with expressing yourself and getting yourself out there. Like, I think that if someone is a very scared or introverted individual, personally, I feel like I'm sort of like that, and I find the arts definitely help me express myself, and I can portray a character and go into the mind of them instead of necessarily me, and I can portray a different character, and I love a challenge. I love trying to portray as many characters as I can and looking them up and putting my own spin on things, and I think it's a great way to express your emotions. Like, if you're having a bad day, you can always express your emotions through your acting or singing or dancing, and it always makes me feel better.
Well, those are great answers. I can't wait to continue following you as you pursue theater. And Wayne, thank you for just a great opportunity to share this program with others today.
Thank you. And I appreciate you being here, also being here too. And this is why I love working with young people. I mean, their energy and they're great. This is great.
Thanks to all of you. Best wishes. The show opens up the amazing Lemonade Girl June 16th to June 19th at the new Hazlett Center for Performing Arts. PrimeStage.com for more details.
Yes, I'm looking for a chick that only drinks lemonade. Yes, I'm looking for a chick that only drinks lemonade. I haven't found one yet, but I've been told that a few was made. Now you know the type, and I know them too. They stand at the bar drinking 10-cent brew. You ask them what they're drinking, though you already know. They'll say whiskey every time to make you spin your dough. That's why I'm looking for a gal that only drinks lemonade. I haven't found one yet, but I've been told that a few was made. I met a gal I thought was so fine. I begged her to please, please, baby, be mine. I took her out one Thursday night. She got two shots of joy juice and was ready to fight. That's why I'm looking for a gal that only drinks lemonade. I haven't found one yet, but I've been told that a few was made. We'll be right back.
husk is too powerful for a woman's frame. It'll make some simple and it makes other chicks insane. It can make a girl weighing 104 feel so powerful she'll think she could even whip Joe. This I know to be a solid fact, 'cause I fell for one a little while back. She was so sweet at the start of the night, but after two drinks, was nothing right. That's why I'm looking for a chick that only drinks lemonade. I'm tired of being broke the day after I get paid.
Louis Jordan at the Saturday Light Brigade, broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square, along with Ricky Berger and Alexis Thompson. This is Larry Berger. Live music from a very talented harp player in just a moment. You're listening to the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade. Saturday mornings on a network of great community radio stations and internet radio stations and streaming services, including Tube City Online at WMCK.FM McKeesport, KRDP Indy Community Radio, Phoenix, Arizona, Loudspeaker One, Fort Collins, Colorado, TuneIn, Simple Radio, Streama, Radio Garden, and slbradio.org/radio.
I wish I knew how it would feel to be free. I wish I could break all the chains holding me. And I wish I could say all the things that I should say. Say it loud, say it. Apart. And I wish you
Mavis Staples and Levon Helm. I'm not sure if that album is out and available yet. I do know it just came into our library. It's called Carry Me Home, the name of the release. It's really nice to be working with the Pittsburgh Concert Society and its Young Artists Awards and their honorees again. And in a moment, you'll get to meet Juliana, who is playing harp this morning live on the radio. In our next hour, the Snap and Bug String Band with a bunch of pals. I can't wait. Richard Withers, Mark Tamsula. Also, Dave Christie is going to be here too. That's all coming up on this morning's SLB.
Pear Networks joins you in supporting the Saturday Light Brigade. Headquartered in Pittsburgh, Pear Networks provides website hosting and domain registration to people from around the world. More information is available at pear.com. That's P-A-I-R.com.
We'll be presenting Juliana with music coming up in just a few moments. We're going to take one more short break to make sure that we have her set up perfectly And then you'll get a chance to hear from her.
Out on the quarterdeck and walking about, there's the second mate, so steady and so stout. What he is a-thinking of, he doesn't know himself. We wish that he would hurry up and strike, strike the bell. Strike the bell, second mate, let us go below. Look well to windward, you can see it's going to blow. Look at the glass, you can see that it is fell. We wish that you would hurry up and strike, strike the bell. Down on the main deck and working on the pumps, there's the starboard watch longing for their bunks. Look out to windward and see a great swell. We wish that you would hurry up and strike, strike the bell. Strike the bell, second mate, let us go below. Look well to windward, you can see it's going to blow. Look at the glass, you can see that it is fell. We wish that you would hurry up and strike, strike the bell. Aft at the wheel, poor Anderson stands, grasping at the spokes with his cold bitten hands. He looks at the compass and the course he can tell. We wish that you would hurry up and strike, strike the bell. Strike the bell, second mate, let us go below. Look well to windward, you can see it's going to blow. Look at the glass, you can see that it is fell. We wish that you would hurry up and strike, strike the bell. Forward at the forecastle head and keeping sharp lookout. Yonder John is standing ready for to shout. Lights are burning bright, sir, and everything is well. We wish that you would hurry up and strike, strike the bell. Strike the bell, second mate, let us go below. Look well to windward, you can see it's going to blow. Look at the glass, you can see that it is fell. We wish that you would hurry up and strike, strike the bell. On the poop deck, the gallant captain stands, looking out to sea with a spyglass in his hands. What he is a-thinking of, we know very well. He's thinking more of shortening sail than striking the bell. Strike the bell, second mate, let us go below. Look well to windward, you can see it's going to blow. Look at the glass, you can see that it is fell. We wish that you would hurry up and strike, strike the bell. Strike the bell, second mate, let us go below. Look well to windward, you can see it's going to blow. Look at the glass, you can see that it is fell. We wish that you would hurry up and strike, strike the bell.
Juliana Mateo is here. There's a lot I want you to learn about her, but before we go any further, we're going to have her play for you. By the way, Jeff Warner and Jeff Davis did a song called Strike the Bell. The Pittsburgh Concert Society has been encouraging young artists for many years through its Young Artists Award program. And those who audition and win are spectacular musicians, as you're about to hear. And our pleasure now to welcome Juliana Mateo. Juliana Mateo, and that was wonderful. I'm going to ask you to just get a little closer to that mic so everybody can hear you. At first, I usually say Juliana because of my mom's Boston accent. Do you prefer Juliana or Anna?
It's actually Juliana.
It is yeah. Juliana. I should have quit while I was ahead. Tell me about the piece you just played.
So that was the Prelude of the Petite Suite by David Watkins. I learned it last year, and I absolutely love it. I love how the first two pages are very exciting, and then the third page goes into that kind of very soft and mysterious right-hand higher octave things, and then it goes back into the fun, peppy, like kind of like a skip, I think of it as. But I really do love this piece. And then there's two other movements, but this is my favorite out of the three.
Well, it is very magical sounding, and I got lost in it as I was listening to you play. You're 16 and at Penn Trafford, is that
yes.
right? And
mm-hmm.
Will be a, let's see, you're finishing up your sophomore year.
Mm-hmm.
How did you come to play the harp? That's not something, I'm sure you've been asked this a lot, but this isn't the instrument that most people choose.
Yeah, so I've always loved the harp. When I was a kid, my dad worked at a place called Chautauqua in New York, and his office was right next to the harp room studio, and I would just spend like my entire summer watching the harpist, and I loved it, and I was always asking, can I play the harp? And who in their right mind's gonna say yes? Like, that's crazy. But then one day they went to a fundraiser and they won something, and I had free lessons for a month, and it's been 7 years now that I've
wow.
just been playing, and it is my favorite thing ever.
And these lessons were in Pittsburgh?
Yes, with my teacher, Gretchen Van Hoosen. She's the harpist of the Pittsburgh Symphony, and she does a lot of other stuff. But
I'm glad you mentioned her. Somebody named Margie just wrote from Seattle. Is that somebody you know that might?
I think that rings a bell. She sounds familiar. I'm not sure, though.
Okay. Well, if you want to send a message by text, I'll gladly relay it to Juliana, 412-200-5975. Or you can use instant input at slbradio.org/listen, slbradio.org/listen. All instruments are challenging, but I just can't imagine where you would begin learning to play the harp. Where do you begin?
I remember my first lesson very vividly. I sat down at a harp pretty much just like this one. There's a bunch of different styles. And my teacher taught me the basic techniques of the right and the left hand. And you just kind of start by learning the form your hands need to be in and where your arms should be, and then you just build on that technique throughout. And technique always comes back with any instrument, but that you really learn it from there.
Do you need to I'm wondering of the physicality of it. It must, I mean, your arms are up for a long time.
Yeah, the first time I played my Pittsburgh Concert Society full program, which is about like 25 minutes to a half hour all the way through, my arms killed me, and I never realized how much it is. But it doesn't honestly hurt that bad. It gets sore if my arms are up there the whole time, but practicing, it doesn't bother me at all. It's just kind of easy because I can rest my arms on the soundboard and things like that, so it's not super straining.
How many strings are there?
Oh, there are 7 octaves. I don't want to give you the wrong answer. Everyone always
that's
asks
okay.
me that, and I never know it.
7 octaves
yes.
is good enough, so that's quite a range.
Yes.
And then you're also working pedals, right?
Mm-hmm. There are 7 pedals, and it's not like the piano with sustains. Each pedal correlates to a different string, so if the C pedal is up, it makes all the C strings on the harp flat. And if it's down, it's sharp, and in the middle, it's natural. It's kind of confusing, but it's very cool because it's different than pretty much anything.
Yeah, it helps you achieve different keys,
mm-hmm.
I would
yeah.
imagine. And then you said something I've never thought about before, but the difference between the two hands. Of course, your left hand has a different purpose than your right hand. And is it a case, as with pianists, that you can't really adjust whether you're left-handed or right-handed? You just learn to make the hand dominant that needs to be dominant. Do you know what I mean? Or
yeah, I know what you mean. It's kind of hard because the left hand is used to playing the low notes. So it's usually I play slower, like chords, and then in the right hand, it's the fast moving stuff. So your right hand is usually more dominant. And
are you right-handed?
I am right-handed. So that does help. But actually in the Petite Suite, the left hand has a lot of fast moving parts and weird fingerings of what like fingers I should use. And that took me a while to get adjusted to because it was fast. And I don't really play as much left hand fast. So it's kind of hard to figure out like where it needs to be accented and things like that.
I'll bet that was a hard piece to master. Have you thought about what you might like to do after high school? I know you've got a couple years to go.
I really am pondering a lot of different things. Harp, I can definitely see something in the future. I'm not sure necessarily a major, but definitely continuing with playing because I just, it's something I really love to do and it's a lot of fun for me.
We want to thank your dad, who it says near his name here, Dad / Roadie. So I'm sure he helped. A harp is hardly a portable instrument, is it?
Yeah, it's a lot of work, but it's definitely worth it for what all I get to do.
Well, you sound great. Is there anybody else you would like to acknowledge or anything else you'd like to say before going into the other piece you have?
Well, I'd like to thank the Pittsburgh Concert Society. This was such a great opportunity to be able to come here and perform. And I would like to thank my teacher and my parents because they obviously do so much for me.
Well, you, I can't tell you how incredible you sound, and thank you for playing. Is this another part of the Watkins piece, or what have you picked?
This is probably one of my favorite pieces so far that I've played. It's very expressive. It's called The Minstrel's Adieu to His Native Land by John Thomas. It has four variations and they're all different, so that's what I really like about this piece. But yeah,
once again, with thanks to the Pittsburgh Concert Society, Juliana Mateo. Thank you. just beautiful. Thank you so much for being here today. I hope we'll get to see you again. And I just can't. You've got a lot of time left to keep playing in your teens. I mean, it's remarkable. Juliana Mateo Pentrafford High School is where she's from. And what's the name of your teacher again?
Gretchen Van Hoosen.
Gretchen Van Hoosen from the Pittsburgh Symphony. Thank you for being with us today.
Yes, thank you so much. This was a lot of fun.
Broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square, along with Ricky Berger and Alexis Thompson, this is Larry Berger, the Snappin' Bug String Band, coming up shortly. You're listening to the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday